This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Trot and Tick. International education contributes $4.4 billion to New Zealand's economy, and it's their fifth largest export earner, supporting more than 30,000 jobs across the country. With more than 2,000 Malaysians currently studying there at the moment, what is the appeal of brand New Zealand? I have joining me on the line to tell me more, John Laxon from Education New Zealand. He is the Regional Director for South, Southeast Asia and the Middle East. John, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Andy.
So, what is the feedback you normally get? Why do Malaysian students pick New Zealand over other destinations?
Yes, we've been delighted to see more and more Malaysian students choosing New Zealand, particularly this year. And generally, students and their parents cite two reasons for choosing New Zealand over other destinations. The first is the ability of New Zealand universities and the education sector to really future-proof students' career prospects, both in terms of the style of learning that a New Zealand university or New Zealand education offers and the industry and global connections that our education institutions have. So that would be reason number one. And the second reason, which has become stronger in recent years, has been the warm and welcoming approach that New Zealand as a society and our education institutions and people offer, and the safety of New Zealand relative to other destination countries. So those would be the main reasons that Malaysian students and parents are citing right now.
Yeah, the Economist Intelligence Unit ranked New Zealand at the top of their index on providing the best future-proof education or curriculum. What does this mean for the students? How is your curriculum different from maybe universities in other countries?
Yes, well, I think one of the key findings of the Educating for the Future Index when it came to New Zealand was just the way in which our education system, really right from school age through to higher education, focuses on an inquiry or a problem-solving method of learning. So a lot of the education that is delivered both in our schools and in our universities is very much problem-based, task-based, and also work group-based. So what you're finding is that students, rather than hearing some numbers or some rote learning, they're actually working with each other across the classroom, both inside and outside the classroom, to tackle and solve problems together. And I think if I was to point towards one thing, it would be that holistic approach to educating students, which means that by the time you get through to our universities are very, very strong when it comes to critical thinking and problem-solving approaches, which means that students aren't just getting a world-class degree at a top 500 ranked university globally, but they're getting the ability to learn and relearn different skill sets, which we're finding is an increasingly important skill in today's modern economy.
Mm-hmm. What kind of courses are popular or are New Zealand universities popular for?
So for our Malaysian students, our university programs that are most popular often tend to be your more traditional management and commerce programs, but we are seeing increasing popularity of our more leading-edge management and commerce programs. So we've got Masters in Innovation and Entrepreneurship. We've also got quite a few cyber analytics and IT programs that are growing quite rapidly in terms of their popularity. So we're seeing that those programs are tending to dominate the student enrollment cohort for our Malaysian students. But we also have quite strong interest in some of our natural and physical sciences programs, particularly engineering and environmental sciences, where New Zealand's regarded as a world leader.
Was there a concerted effort to promote these disciplines among the Malaysian among Malaysian students who are choosing to go to New Zealand, or do you see this trend as well among other international students who come to New Zealand to pursue or further their education?
Yes, I think for our international student cohort more generally, those are the subjects that often do come up. We see many international students when they're thinking about studying abroad, they're thinking, how does this international education experience differentiate me when it comes to my future career prospects and the like. So we do see those commerce and management programs often being the more popular programs. We also find that New Zealand, given our natural and our academic advantages and strengths when it comes to environmental and natural sciences, we do see that being an area where we do tend to draw students compared to other destination countries. So that's really what informs our promotion or our brand building approach, is looking to promote New Zealand as a destination, because often students will select the country first when they're considering their study abroad options. So we make sure that they're aware of our strengths in those areas, but also our strength across our education system. As I mentioned, we're the only country where all of our universities are ranked in the top 3% or top 500 by QS university rankings. So that also lends itself to students and parents being confident that when they choose New Zealand, they will get a world-class education.
Mm. What about costs? Where do costs figure in their deliberations when choosing to go to a place like New Zealand? Is cost considered something that is advantageous to New Zealand compared to other destinations?
Yes, we do tend to find that students and families quite naturally are conscious of the investment that they're making in their future, and it is, you know, particularly an undergraduate bachelor's degree is a reasonably significant investment. So that is one of the considerations. From the benchmarking we've done, New Zealand is, well, particularly quality competitive, but also cost competitive. So in the benchmarks, and there are many out there, and students can find more information on our website, which is studyinnewzealand.govt.nz. But in many of those websites out there, generally what we see is that the US and the UK would be your more expensive destinations, and then Australia, Canada and New Zealand are in a reasonably similar ballpark when it comes to costs. But generally speaking, we find when talking to the students that they have found New Zealand to be probably more cost-effective than our competitor countries that they might consider going and studying at.
Yeah, so more than 2,000 Malaysians currently in New Zealand, and you mentioned all eight universities are ranked among the top 3% in the QS ranking. But how many of the 2,000 Malaysians currently there are enrolled in universities as opposed to the polytechnics and PTEs?
Yes, so we have, of the 2,000 students studying in New Zealand at the moment, around three quarters or 1,500 of those are studying at our universities. And then the remainder are studying, often they might be in foundation programs at a private training establishment, which then feeds on to university, or they'll be in our institutes of technology and polytechnics. So in those latter two categories, we've got the bulk of the remaining 500 students, and then we have around 100 students at our schools, and in fact, enrolments across all of those sectors are growing quite strongly, but most strongly in the university sector.
Yeah, because I was reading a press release by Education New Zealand that was released back in March that stated international student enrolment overall has dropped 7%, but saw growth at the postgraduate and university level increase. So this is in line with your government current shift towards more high-quality students. Would that be right? Could you summarise for me what kind of candidates are you looking for when you are pitching New Zealand as a proposition to further someone's undergraduate or tertiary education?
Yes, I think you've summed it up very well, actually. Our New Zealand government, which was elected last year, and Education New Zealand has been very strongly promoting New Zealand as basically the quality choice. So we are seeking high-quality students, regardless of which sector they may be studying in. But we've found that for Malaysia in particular, we have such a strong history between our New Zealand universities and Malaysian students. So our connections go back to really the 1950s and 60s with the Colombo Plan. That has been our most competitive and strongest value proposition for Malaysian students. So both for Malaysia and more broadly, you'll find that a lot of our promotions do focus towards those students that are considering university study. But we do also promote niche and specialist subjects where we're regarded as world leaders, because we think to differentiate New Zealand from the other options that are on the table for international students, we need to be showing where we're doing something different, where we're doing something exciting. So whether it's in information technology, cybersecurity, you may have seen some of the Lord of the Rings and other movies which have a whole industry and whole education system supporting those, that's where we'll be promoting and looking to attract students. Because we recognise that once students complete their studies in New Zealand, they become friends of New Zealand, but they also become advocates for New Zealand. So the more high-quality students that we're attracting to New Zealand who are then going off and having successful careers, the better place we'll all be, but particularly our education system and sector will be.
Yeah, I think Lord of the Rings have been the most successful advertisement for New Zealand as a whole, isn't it? Is it ENZ or New Zealand's policy to encourage these graduates to stay back and work upon their graduation? Because New Zealand is a relatively small country and immigration is a big part of their growth strategy. In their education policy, when you state that you're trying to attract high-quality students, is an ideal candidate someone who you see as intending to return home after graduation or to stay back and contribute to the New Zealand economy?
Well, I think for us, first of all, it starts with the student experience. And so for us to have an attractive proposition for students to consider, part of that consideration will need to be, how does this qualification or learning experience help me to prepare myself for a successful global career? And so what we're finding is that students and parents are expecting that as part of that education experience, they're getting exposure to the workforce and to the career or occupation that they're seeking to enter after they finish their studies. So what we find right across our universities and all of our institutions is that while students are studying, they will be being prepared for a successful career, whether it's through soft skill development, whether it's through internships or connections to employers. So that's something that happens right across the board, because we recognise wherever it is, we need to be preparing students to be successful in their chosen career. From a policy perspective, what that means is that students will have work rights when they're studying in New Zealand, so they'll be able to work up to 20 hours per week during course time or up to 40 hours per week during the holidays. And they'll also have work rights for when they complete their studies, because often what will happen is that they'll be introduced to an employer. The employer and the student will see value in continuing that relationship, and it can make a real difference if they get a year or two's experience under their belts in New Zealand, particularly if they are looking to come back to Malaysia, because they can say to a future Malaysian employer, look, I've got experience across cultures, across countries, and working with multinationals in New Zealand. So it's incredibly powerful from that perspective. So I think coming back to your question, whether students continue on in New Zealand and can progress through their post-study work rights in New Zealand and seek residence, or whether they continue abroad in Malaysia or elsewhere in the world, for us, as long as we're putting those first steps in place, they're going to be successful either way. So we don't really take a view on that. We don't, in our promotions, have a predetermined path that we're seeking them to follow. What we're looking to do with our institutions is to make sure that whatever path they choose, they're going to be successful in that career journey once they've finished their studies.
I'm speaking today to John Laxon from Education New Zealand. Up next, I'll ask him more about plans for partnerships between New Zealand and Malaysian universities, as well as whether there are any works in the pipeline to build maybe local branch campuses in Malaysia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Antik. On the show with me today is John Laxon, Regional Director for South, Southeast Asia and Middle East Education New Zealand, a government agency promoting international education in New Zealand. John, so 4.4 billion at the moment, and New Zealand wants to increase this contribution from international education to 5 billion by 2025. How much of this growth you reckon will come from Malaysia?
Oh, we're hopeful a healthy proportion will come from Malaysia through more Malaysian students choosing New Zealand. But I think more broadly, we'll see our university sector contributing towards the growth and value of our industry overall. And because we get the majority of our Malaysian students into our New Zealand universities, we certainly do see Malaysia being a strong partner for us, both from a broader education perspective, but also through growing numbers of Malaysian students studying with us. So in terms of the numbers, we'll probably have to see how that plays out. But we're seeing, particularly this year, very significant growth with a 20% increase in the numbers of Malaysian students choosing to study in New Zealand. And we're really thrilled about that.
Yeah, because you're focused on a large swath of geography. Is Malaysia an important market for New Zealand?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, the length of the relationship between New Zealand and Malaysia. I mentioned earlier that the relationship goes back to the 1950s and 60s, and we're very thrilled to have prestigious Malaysian alumni who are now really leading the way in terms of the relationship between our countries and also our education institutions. So, for example, Maslan Othman, who studied at my university, the University of Otago, and is a world-renowned astrophysicist, having worked for NASA, as well as Tan Sri Halim Saad, a very successful businessman in Malaysia. For those reasons, you know, there is an economic value in terms of growing the relationship, but you really can't put a price on having those sorts of people connected to your country and being friends of New Zealand and leading their way in the world for Malaysia. So for those reasons, Malaysia will long be a very important market for us, and it's a market and a relationship that our universities are very focused on strengthening and growing in the years to come.
Do you see different trends or demands in these different markets that you work on in terms of what people expect from their study abroad experience? What are some of your challenges, you know, promoting the New Zealand brand in Malaysia as well as Southeast Asia and the Middle East?
Yes, I think the first challenge really New Zealand faces is just an awareness challenge. So what we find is that students who do study in New Zealand really become strong advocates for New Zealand. More than 90% would strongly recommend New Zealand as a destination to their friends and family. So our challenge is really just growing our friends in terms of the students and alumni who study with New Zealand, and raising awareness across Malaysia and other markets of New Zealand as a really premium and quality education destination, you know, alongside the US, the UK and the other more traditional destinations that students may think of when they're thinking of studying abroad. So I think that's for us at Education New Zealand, that's our challenge first and foremost. In terms of catering for student needs when they're in New Zealand, that's something that our institutions really have a real strength, and we welcome more than 125,000 students each year from over 180 countries. So really, as long as we're catering to all of those cultures and ethnicities within our institutions and providing a very strong quality education, then there aren't too many challenges from that perspective in terms of making sure that those students both enjoy New Zealand but also have a successful education experience.
Mm-hmm. Auckland takes in almost 60% of international enrollment. Is this something that is all right, healthy, or are you trying to maybe also attract more people to go to other regions to pursue their studies?
Yes, you're right. We have had the majority of our students studying in Auckland to date, and it is a priority of both the New Zealand government and of Education New Zealand to broaden out that student cohort to our other cities, particularly Wellington, Christchurch, Hamilton and Dunedin. And what we've found, though, for Malaysian students is that actually we're pretty healthily spread across New Zealand. So the majority of our students are actually studying outside Auckland. When it comes to our Malaysian student cohort, we have 56% of our students studying at one of our other cities or regions. And I think that's partly because six of our eight universities are located outside of Auckland, and the majority of our Malaysian students are studying at New Zealand universities. So we've got a much more even spread across the country, which I think is healthy, both in terms of the student experience, because you're mixing with a broader range of both international students and New Zealand students. So that's really the main focus for us. And so it's less of an issue, I would say, for our Malaysian students when they're considering New Zealand, because the majority of that 60%, which is in Auckland, are in non-university institutions or in non-university sectors, and we're seeing those numbers taper off a little bit, so we're really succeeding in aiming to broaden out that student cohort across the rest of the country.
And is international students the primary engine for growth for universities at the moment?
So in terms of our student cohort, across our university sector as a whole, we have around 15% of our students are international students. So when you compare that, say, for example, to Australia, the ratio in Australia is generally between 25 and 30% of students are international students. So I think what I take from that is there is actually quite a lot of potential for growth in our international student numbers without compromising the quality of the student experience. So I think that's something that's a real proof point and value proposition for New Zealand, is that you do get a true New Zealand education experience, particularly in the sorts of programs that we see Malaysian students studying in, such as those management and commerce degrees and master's programs, as well as some of our engineering and other natural and physical sciences.
Yeah. So 25% of international enrollment would be considered ideal. That's when you say it's the threshold for when it's a saturation point. Would that be right?
It would be tricky to be drawn on an exact figure, because it probably depends a little bit. Really, it starts with the classroom. You know, it's when you're sitting in that classroom, is there a good mix of perspectives and a good mix of students? You know, we wouldn't want a Malaysian student to come to New Zealand and then just sit in a classroom with only other Malaysian students, because, you know, you could do that in Kuala Lumpur. So I think really it starts at the classroom level, and that's why it is quite difficult to draw a figure across the board for the university sector, because there will be some programs that have very few international students, and actually adding a few more there wouldn't be a big issue. And there'll be other programs that draw the majority of students, where you would need to quite carefully plan your student enrolments and intakes to make sure that they weren't being saturated. So I wouldn't necessarily commit to a hard figure, but what I would say is that when compared with our competitor countries, New Zealand has a very, very healthy mix of international students and domestic students, so you get a true and world-class New Zealand education experience when you come and study at one of our institutions.
Right. That's one of the perhaps drawback, isn't it, of having foreign branch campuses here. You get all the curriculum, syllabus, and maybe teaching know-hows of a foreign institution, but the classroom is mainly composed of Malaysians. Is that the reason why perhaps New Zealand institutions have not yet explored or are thinking of setting up branch campuses in Malaysia?
Yes, I think your point's spot on, Untek, that really one of the reasons why we're seeing increasing numbers of international students choosing a study abroad experience is because they recognise that to really truly get that life-changing experience, you do need to consider studying abroad, consider studying in another country, because it gives you the whole societal experience as well as learning within another education system and learning another style of learning and education. So I think that's why we'll continue to see students studying abroad, whether it's in New Zealand or other countries. In terms of branch campuses, New Zealand universities do recognise that students look for all sorts of pathways into an international program of learning, and that may include, for example, doing a foundation program in Malaysia before heading abroad. So our universities have jointly launched a foundation program with KYS Business School in Malaysia, and we're also considering what other opportunities there might be for joint partnerships in Malaysia, because we recognise that for some students and families, actually doing a year or two in Malaysia before studying abroad is an important option to have on the table. So whilst I probably wouldn't say that there would necessarily be full branch campuses or New Zealand University branch campuses in Malaysia in the short term, I do think that Malaysian students and families will see a range of New Zealand education offerings that help to pathway them to New Zealand so that they can have the best of both worlds, in a sense.
Lastly, could I get a final message on you, to summarise the competitive advantage of studying in New Zealand?
Yes, so I think for students that are thinking about the options for where to take their international education experience and their career beyond that, really what New Zealand offers that other countries don't are those connections between the universities and education institutions through to industry and through to the wider world. So we talked before that New Zealand was ranked number one by the Economist Intelligence Unit's Educating for the Future Index, and that was over and above the likes of the US, the UK, Australia, Canada. And the reason why New Zealand achieved that number one ranking is, one, for those industry connections. You'll get internships, you'll get work preparation skills, you'll get connections to multinational companies. You also have the opportunity to work both during and after your studies. So you'll get all of those connections, and you'll get lecturers and academics who challenge you and grow you both as a person and in terms of your education experience. And it's a very personal and hands-on experience as well. You won't get the big classrooms where you're just handed information and asked to repeat it back at the end of the semester. You'll be working with New Zealand and a whole range of international students in solving problems that are relevant to today's world and relevant to your future career. So if I was to give one message, that would probably be it. We've talked about safety and the welcoming environment that New Zealand offers and all of those other things. But that would be the thing I'd think about if I was a student embarking on my international experience now. You know, how can I be most assured that I'm going to be connected to basically turbocharge my career? And that's where New Zealand comes out ahead of the rest of the possible destination options.
John, thank you very much for speaking to me today.
Thank you very much for your time, Antic.
You've been listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.